Hello everybody, good evening. Welcome to day 17, year 17, or better still, year 17, day 18, day 17 of the 30 years in 30 days live broadcast with Great Grace. It's a pleasure to do this again. Blessed Sunday. How was service at your end? I just got back from church and I'm going to be live streaming another service very soon again. Hi, the Lord is my strength. You know what we do now? When you're my life is the life of a oh Jesus. The life of a how do I put it now? The diary or the story or the life of a single pastor or a single, how do I put it? Okay, that's what it is. So you do a lot of counseling, talking, and I can be there like forever. Oh Jesus, I didn't know time had gone, but I'm glad to do this again today. Welcome. How was service at your end? Mine was beautiful. I'm grateful to God. Took a lot of pictures with my Cinderella gown. Okay, welcome to today's episode again, and then I hope you're preparing for the new week. God indeed has gone ahead of you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. God has gone ahead of us, of course. Glory to his name. Oh, God is beautiful. God is amazing. God is awesome. I'm thankful to God. Thank you. Thankful to all our listeners. Thank you for listening. Thanks for following. Thanks for the amazing remarks. And those sharing their testimonies with me. Thank you. I'm glad. Oh, you are the reason why God sent me. I'm here for you. And I know that the purpose why God has connected us in one way or the other on this platform will be established in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. Okay, so some people are asking me, how exactly do you train up your child in the way they should go, that will not depart from it? How do you train a toddler, a small child, how to study the word and how to do all those things? Okay, I'll ask you this question. Whenever little children watch animations, right? They watch cartoons, right? Have you ever realized that sometimes, most times, what is being said doesn't make sense to an adult? That's one. What is also being said, sometimes, depending on the language, you know, there are some that, you know, there'll be the children will speak the cartoon or whatever. The characters will speak in a language that you don't understand. And yet, if you ask your younger siblings, so how do you even understand this thing? Let's change it to another. No, they'll say, no, please leave it here. I want to watch Disney. I want to watch this. I want to watch. That's what they are saying. Now, and they're like, okay, so I've been glued to this screen for the past 10 minutes and I don't understand one thing. You see, I don't understand. It is saying that this and this and this and this is what it's saying. My twins will start explaining to me again and again what what the cartoon is saying. So if they can understand cartoon, what is the recent cartoon now? All this, I don't even want to go into the cartoon world because that's another, I don't want it to trigger another part of me that I'll start talking about right now. Because I see so many nonsense that is being given out there. Vampirina, name it. Everything is just witchcraft, spirit, ghost. What's going on? Parents, because censor what your children are watching. Censor what they are watching, please. It's very important. Their entry channels are very important. At this age, they can't tell themselves what they want and what they don't. But what you allow to enter into them at this stage is very pivotal. Just to say this, this is not today's episode, but just to say this, I remember at some point the last girl in the family, who is already a grown-up teenager, watched a particular cartoon on Nickelodeon, I suppose. And for 2 weeks, she had this heaviness in her heart that she couldn't pray. Then there were some things in the... Okay, so she started having some attacks, real life, yeah? And every time she's like, God, what's going on? Her mind keeps going back to that cartoon. This is someone that likes cartoon. So it's not like we are saying, no, her mind will just take her back to, God, what's going on? What's going on? Only for her to realize that the cartoon that looks so innocent and so good had a lot of spiritual undertone. a lot of mess, and then you make your little toddler, innocent toddler, spend time glued to the TV. Even with the parental guide control and all of that, there are still some contents that your children should not watch. Please be a sensitive and a wise parent. It will not be a good thing. God forbid we lose our children. It will not be a good thing. This is how I see it. That we will not stand before God that day. Maybe we've asked for mercy. Yes, we are forgiven. Yes, we enter into heaven and our children are in hell. The one that God hand over to you. God forbid. That will not be your testimony in Jesus' name. Amen. But this is not just saying amen. There's a work part to this, right? Yes, there is. Okay, so let's continue into this episode. Hey, speed. Amen. All right, so today's episode. Let me just jump. Okay, so at this phase, I wrote Wayek, Senior Wayek. And before I wrote Wayek, you know, I've always had issues in mathematics, right? So it has been an issue. So it has been an issue for a while, even in SS class. The teacher that was still teaching us mathematics did masters in, I think, masters and PhD in mathematics. And she would tell us this is the lowest she can break it down. I'm like, hey, all these teachers that they are using the lowest, they can break it down as an excuse not to teach the rest of us. It's not nice, though. This is the lowest they can break it down. There's nothing she can do about it. Hey. So, red pen. So I started making progress in biology. The pen started changing from red to blue. Maybe I have 50% or 60, but not like the best of grade as I would love to. Not like the best of grades I would love to. So we wrote. So in SS2 first term now, we had a new headmaster. The primary section of my school had an headmaster. He was new, and then he came to my school. So the principal introduced him as the person who will be taking us mathematics. That man is good. I don't even know what he was doing in my school, but maybe he just has a love for teaching because he was super smart. And for the first time, the man came into our class and he said, mathematics is very simple. I will teach you. This one, I laugh. Because at this point, I already made up my mind that coming as Wayek is coming like this, me, I will cheat. Either the school is offering to cheat or not, I will cheat because I cannot fail mathematics. And imagine, how was I expecting to do magic in Wayek? How would I even tell my dad that I did it myself? Since he knew that all the while I've been having bad grades in mathematics, it didn't matter. I was not going to repeat Wayek. So I was just going to cheat to pass. Don't have that kind of a mindset, please. That was the mindset I had. But hear my testimony. So the teacher came to my class for the first time and he said, mathematics is very simple. I will teach you. I laughed. I was just laughing on my seat. He said, Grace, why? I said, nothing, sir. In my mind, I'm like, we've been on this mountain for too long. So when you tell me it's very simple, okay, prove me wrong, sir. He said, I'll teach you. And he went to the board, gave us example, gave us, do you understand? Yes, sir. Very explanatory. And he gave us exercise. There and then, I had the highest score in the whole class. Yeah? Jesus. I'm sure you are surprised. Yes, oh, you are not dull. You are smart. You are intelligent. You can know everything you desire to know. I was shocked. And as classwork he gave us was over 4. And then I had 3.5/4. Others had 3. Some had 2. I was shocked. And this man took it a step further. He said, wow. Oh, so Grace, you're going to be my class rep for mathematics. Me, I'm like, sir, no, sir. It's only this one I pass. Don't think I'm good in mathematics. It's just this one that you taught me. That's the only thing I know in mathematics. I don't even bother, you know, people buying textbook. I collect the money for textbook and spend it. There's no use because I don't know anything in it. So I won't it won't be useful to me. Please don't be unserious as I was then, please. So I'll be using my older siblings' old textbook. I don't buy anything new textbook. Mathematics, no stress. Just spend the money. I said, sir, please. He said, don't worry, you'll be fine. And he gave us a class. He gave us assignment to do the remaining part of the work. Wow. After class, everybody came around me. All the good guys came around me like, oh, Grace, how did you get that? And then I taught them, yeah? In my entire life. The case is the case of Psalms 126. Hey, for when the Lord turned again the captivity of Grace, chai,
were like them that dream. That was my matter. I was like, hey, am I dreaming? No, I'm joking. This is real. This is no. I'm serious. That is what it was. I was so excited. And they were like, oh, wow. So I did the work. Very quickly. From school, I did my assignment and I finished it. By morning, I got to class. People, ah, Grace, are you done? I said, I'm done. Yes. People copied. Everybody, you know, that's the life we used to live. Tell them, we copy assignment, we pass assignments, we fail exam, we fail test. So, later I realized that those that were not too good in class in mathematics, they were like, I said, ah, you can know it. If me can know mathematics, ah, you can know it. So whenever I resume school, I just go to my teacher's office and just drop my work. I don't take it to class. I just drop it. Ah, Grace, where's? I say, let me teach you. Ah, Grace, you don't have time now. Just give me. I say, my book is not here. Let me teach you. So in the present, they'll not be listening. So that I'll just rewrite everything for them. And I'm saying, you can know it. You can know it. Say, let me teach you. I believe the thing. One thing about me is this: anything I know, anything I learn, and I know well, I can replicate it again and again. So I was like, I can teach you. So I taught some, they got it. Some were like, ah, see, I'm not game for this thing. Just do what you do and let me pass this and all of that. So we kept doing that. By the time we wrote exams, wow, in my entire life, my mathematics grade, it flew from F. It didn't just even move to B. It didn't just move to a blue pen. It moved to 80, 90, yes. And I had about 80 something that year that mathematics teacher said, Grace is my best student. And people like, ah, sir, but we had higher marks than her. You say, you don't understand. I looked at her record from SS1 and I saw that, ah, for this babe to graduate from 20 something, 30 or 40 in mathematics to 80 something percent, ah, no. Hey, it's a transformation. He said, Grace was his best student. Mr. King, God bless that man for me. Chai! I'm so grateful. Anytime I get to visit my school again, I hope I'll see him. And if I don't see him, I'll ask if I can get his contacts. That man is amazing. It got to that point that I have to study mathematics before I read any other subject. I can take 3 hours solving mathematics. We just go into solving. Anything he teaches me, I go the extra mile. I do the exercise. I became a lover of mathematics, the subject mathematics. And then I started teaching my classmates. Me and the best guys in class will see that in class. We'll start, were you able to? Really? Okay, don't worry. Let me sleep over it. I'll come back to school. I will not sleep that day. You know, I used to sleep at maybe 11. I started 11, 12. I started sleeping sometimes 2, 3 a.m. Solving mathematics. You're shocked. Guess what that did to me? It helped my IQ. Because after solving mathematics for 3 hours, I read all my school notes. Get me right. All my school, all subjects in school. I read up the notes in 30 minutes. I can't explain it, but that's what it is. That's what it was. Sorry. That's what it was. Everything will be seeping in very fast. Every other note will be seeping in very fast. If I took time in my notes, maybe an hour, but most of the time I was timing myself. 30 minutes, I'm done. Ask me anything in my textbook, I will tell you what it is. Because I've spent 3 hours solving mathematics. Wow. By the time we wrote WAEC, I had a C in mathematics. And why I had a C in mathematics was because mathematics is a build-up. Yeah? So, from SS1 to SS3 is what will come out in your WAEC. So, for me, I only knew from SS2 first time. Oh, no. From SS2 second term to SS3 first term. SS3 second term. So I think I left in the second term because my uncle was like, no, I wasn't going to write WAEC in that school. So I was so excited about mathematics. And then so when it was time for WAEC, all the things that I did not know, different fractions and all that I didn't know, I just did tini tanana biko biko and I moved on. Then I went to the essay part. I might know A, B, and not know C. I would do A, B well. When it got to graph, I became pro in plotting graph. You know when your teacher is like, Grace, how do you success? You plot this thing, you do it. I say, yes, I take my time and do very, I'm a perfectionist. I love to do things well. I do it well, extremely well. So I had a C in mathematics. I was grateful to God. One, it's not just because I didn't make an A. No, but because I was able to scale through without cheating. and I knew it. Two, ever since then, I was always engaging mathematics before reading. So when I was done with WAEC and I was going to come for, okay, so my brother told me then when I was taking JA, he said, oh, take Obafemi University. I'm like, no, be in your school. I be in my school. What's that? I wanted Ahmadu Bello University and it was closer to home. It was in Zaria. So I'll be coming home all the time. So I went for the exams, Ahmadu Bello exams. I passed. Yeah, but because of my state, Ekiti State, my cutoff was higher. So I remember daddy's friend was saying, though he works at the sciences, he lectures at the sciences. He said, oh, by the time the second list is out, my name will be there. So because I didn't take, I didn't put OAU as my choice, first choice for JAMB, I had to, my brother said, okay, he took pre-degree form for me. OAU pre-degree, I'm like, ah. So he took it, registered and all of that. So he started telling me, oh, get ready, you are coming to come and write pre-degree. Mommy said, my daughter said, oh, Grace, you're going to Ife to go and write pre-degree. I'm like, why? I've already written an exam here. I'm going to enter part one. Which one is it forward promotion or demotion? Now you know, me, I want to be at ABU. I want to stay there and learn and all of that. My mommy now said, you know what, just go so that your brother will not feel he wasted money. Just go and then. And that, so I told my mom, I said, mom, just to tell you that I'm coming back, a lot of things that I liked, clothes, shoes, but a lot of things I just know that this one is as if I can't do without them. I dropped them that I'm coming back. I would say that was the greatest blessing or mistake, but whatever it was, I never came back. I got into OAU. I know I'm skipping some things. Please go to my previous Chronicles of Grace series, you'll be able to access most of them you'll be able to access. So I was like, what's going on? I was asking myself what was going on. I got into OAU campus and I saw young people praying out their life and glorious destiny. All my life, you know, I told you how my parents raised us happy. All my life, it was my parents, and in church I was shocked to see an academic community where people were praying out their glorious destinies. Wow, shocking. Yes. And instantly something within me leaped for joy, like, this is it, this is where you're supposed to be. Woo. And I told myself, oh, no going back. I burnt the bridge, no going back. And I told myself, whatever it will take, we'll give it. Actually, I came with the intention to fail the pre-degree exam. I didn't want to pass it because I didn't want to get admission for it. I just wanted to. But that day I came and I said, I saw people praying. And I asked my brother a simple question. I said, are they hungry? He said, no. Is something wrong with their loved ones? He said, no. Why are they not praying? Did they fail a course? If they are praying that God should change the course. He said, no. I said, what are they now doing under the sun? Imagine somebody having free time in between lectures and go to sports complex. Of course, if you're familiar with OAU, you know what I'm talking about. Go to sport, they've now turned into religious ground. Pray under the hot sun, praying. When you should be somewhere, one chill spot, chilling, or you're at the library reading, or you're resting, or something, and you're not praying for a change of grade, upgrade, or no, you are praying for your destiny and purpose. Say, this is it. So my brother was like, wow, they are praying purpose. Okay, what is purpose? Then I remember in my school that there's this parent that used to come to my school. So two of his daughters graduated from my school and he was a lawyer. So he used to take our time to take us on career talks. He would, you know, make our time from his busy schedule, teach us on purpose, teach us on different things. He was a lawyer, an amazing man. I can't remember his name now. In fact, his two daughters were not in my set, but they graduated from my school. And they were brilliant and exceptional. So he was always coming to teach us on purpose, you know, your weaknesses, SWOT analysis. He taught us a lot of things then. So of course I understood purpose in that regard. But I didn't understand purpose in the regard of praying and praying under the sun. That one was the one I didn't understand. So my brother started explaining to me, oh, there's a foundation where you're concerned. There's something that God has ordained you for. So it is you coming to that place. So people are praying it out. They are desiring to bet out God's will for them. and all of that. I was shocked. I was surprised. Wow. And I told myself instantly, this is where I want to be. In fact, something within me just said, this is it. This is it. This is it. This is it. Don't forget, my parents were missionaries. They're pastors. They love God and all of that. I also love God, but it was different. It was different in this particular location. Ever since then, I became more serious with studying. Then my brother recommended one of his friends to tutor me for a while before the exam. Do I want to say these stories? Let me just move. Please catch up on the Chronicles of Graces. Forgive me for this. This is not stories. That's why I see Chronicles of Grace series, like stories. This one, we are going straight on point to what we are out here for. Okay, so I had some encounters with the particular guy. I was trying to tell my brother. I didn't get to explain to him a lot of things that has been happening with me. I just tried to explain to him that. Are you sure? He said, don't worry, the guy's books are in quarter, so he will take it. I'm like, are you sure? Because I'm like, hey, guys, me, I know what's going on. I don't know. Maybe they wrote on my forehead, abuser, abuser, take advantage of habit. There's something just pulling and drawing them in that direction. So my brother said, don't worry, Ivan. I was trying to make it, but I couldn't say it to him in words. Only for me to get there, and the guy was trying nonsense and all of that. It is well. So I shift. I'm not going to dwell on that today. Today is Sunday. It's holy day. Let's talk holy things. Oh, that was a joke. Every day is holy. All right, so I started preparing. So he coached me, and then I read the exams, and then I guess I didn't meet the cutoff. That's when I knew that there is book and there is book. You see, that's when I knew that, oh, wow. Of course, even if I'm an exceptional, amazing student at my location in my school there, here is where you meet different best brains. So it's competition, survival of the fittest. That's what it is. So I was like, God, no, I must get admitted. Because at this point, I'd forgone ABU's admission. I wasn't checking up again. I told my dad, I'm not coming back. He should not worry his friend about the admission. So nothing, and ABU had closed her admission already at that time. I said, I know, I must get this admission. So I will pray. And I'm gonna meet, I'll go to their office. Somehow God favored me. I sure got admission into pre-degree. Then, the school fees, how much was it? 135,000 naira. Can you imagine? This was in 2010. Hey, the school fees, my brother shall raise the school fees. School fees was paid. Oh my Jesus. Whew. So before this part, let me just share with you some amazing things that transformed my life. Before this part, I remember the first day. Normally, I was supposed to stay with a friend of my brother in the hostel, but for some reason, my brother said I should stay with him. So I was with him, and then I remember I'll wake up in the night, I'll see him reading, studying the word of God. It's not his book, so, and he was a student, studying the word. I wake up, one, he's studying, two, he's studying, three, he's still studying the word. Then by four, he will now carry his books, academic books, and start to read his academic book for about 2 hours. Then he sleeps. By eight, he dresses up and he goes to school. And me, I'm lost, like, is this boy? Sorry. I say boy. Like, in my mind, like, is this person a student at all? Does he know the implication of what he's doing? She's like, as per his mom. And we want to come and scold him and teach him how to be a better person. Can you imagine? God. So I remember the first time I heard him praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm like, how do they pray in tongues? Because I only know my mom's tongue. So I copied my mom's song so well that's the only thing I say. You say, oh, you're praying the Holy Ghost. I'll say it. Oh, I just remained there. I'm not going forward. I'm not going back. It's just that I'm saying. And he said, so I heard him praying, and it was different from what mom used to say. I'm like, okay, so can you teach me? He said, they don't teach. You get baptized. And I'm like, oh, okay, no problem. So we went to campus. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. For me, literally, my tongue shifted. I could feel that twist. And then he started 1, 1, 2, 2, bam. And then I started getting better in it. Then I started learning how to fast. I just studied about our fasting dramas. So even when we told our parents to pre-inform us before we fast, they pre-informed us. It was just reasons. There were times I would sneak, I'll go and buy things and eat. Mommy, are you not buying anything? She said she's buying. She sent me. I will take my own money to buy my own thing, eat, clean my mouth, and come back home. And mom will be like, ah, you are a strong girl, Lord. You are, you see, you're growing, you're getting mature. This one that you are not screaming and rolling on the floor. She don't know that. But and even with all, whatever it is I eat, that's 6 p.m. It was a time I always dread. I always dread that time. Whatever it is you think you've saved up, you'd have finished spending it, you'd have eaten it up. No. So 6 p.m. was just not it. So this time around, I started fasting deliberately. Wow. Yes. I started fasting. I stretched myself in a way that I have never done before. I graduated from fasting daily to going marathon. Yes. I was just hungry for all of God. I have never seen God in that dimension before. What challenged me was the fact that young people were so hungry for God. Ah, hey, you see this God? Here we come. Here we day. We day here. We stay here. I don't want to say we live here. That's what we do. I was here. I was there. Desiring all of God. Desiring all of God. Wanting everything He's able to give and is willing to give. That was all I just wanted. I was hungry. The prayings, the fastings, down to the point, you know, I already learned how to cook without tasting. To the point that I will cook for my brothers, because now I had two of my brothers. I will cook for my brothers, and they will ask me, Grace, have you eaten? I said, yes. Of course, I ate God's word, and that's what it is. And I will serve them, and I won't eat. And I'll be on a marathon, and they will not know. Wow. Hey, see the kind of graduation. Chai, whatever prayers my parents were praying, it worked. Ah, no, it worked. I will be... This is not to form James Bond. I was just hungry. I was just hungry. I will also spend time studying the word. I'll be there. I'll pray. The Bible did not now become my sleeping pillow. You know, when a moment I want to study the word, I remember then when... Anytime they are trying to stress me when I was little, I'll say, Mommy, I want to go and study the word. I want to go and pray. Mom will be excited, of course, and relieve me of whatever I'm doing. But me, I'm coming to come and sleep. Like, I'm tired. Can you not stress my life right now? I want to sleep. So once I hear a footstep or something, I'll open the scripture back again. So what did you study? I remember something I studied a long time ago. I'll bring it up again and polish it and polish it. And mom will feel, okay, oh, that's nice. You can also see it from this light. I say, okay. And then I became hungry. I became hungry. I became hungry, exceedingly hungry for God. I desired all of God. Then it dawned on me, I think there's something I've not shared with you, was the fact that growing up as a child, I had suicidal thoughts for years. You know, when I felt, oh, I wasn't loved, I wasn't cared for, I had suicidal thoughts a lot. And I went as far as trying to make it happen. It wasn't just the thoughts. I went as far as trying to make it happen. Down to the times of asking my mom, oh, mommy, what will happen to someone when they kill themselves? Mommy will say, oh, they will go to hell because they killed themselves. Your life is not for you to take. You know, ha. That will hold me. I was tired. I used to tell Jesus I wanted to come and meet him. And sometimes I'm in my room. I'm like, God, just take me. You see, those were the challenges I had with comparison. I loved my dad, but it didn't work for me. So times I tried killing myself, of course, before I got to that point where words were not hitting me again, where I got to that point that I didn't care anymore. Before I got to that point, I only got to that point because I didn't want to go to hell. Before then, I wanted to die, but I didn't know how to go about it. I'm grateful to God that there was no sniper in those days, because maybe I would have considered it. I wanted something fast that could just end me so that I can go and be with Jesus. But when my mom told me that anybody that does that will not go to Jesus but will go to hell, I didn't want to go to hell. My parents have taught us about heaven. They've taught us about hell. I didn't want to go to hell. There are times I will sneak into my room with knife. I'll give myself cuts around my belly button. Still, I will not still be able to pierce myself with a knife. There are times I will deliberately walk into the road. Wanting, okay, since mommy says if I kill myself, I'll go to hell, then let a car knock me down so that at least I did not kill myself. The devil messed up with my mind for years. and you hear cars honking and screaming, do you want to die? Are you stupid? Are you foolish? What is going on with you? And I'm like, can you just knock somebody down, please? Can you just knock me down and let me go? I'm tired. And I'll just give them a bad look and pass, like, what's doing you people? I say, if you knock me down, you're not knocking me down. Until God started working on my heart. Until God started teaching me. So after my brother told me, you know, you are enough, you are good, you can be a better person. Then a bit of FCS then in my school, we started going for some seminars and some conferences. I started learning some things. So when I said I didn't want to die anymore, the devil wanted to take me. I will now notice that I'm crossing the road and my legs will be as heavy as 100 liters of palm oil or something. Very heavy. I won't be able to move. And I'll be like, God, I said I don't want to die again. God, I don't want to die again. While I'm like, God, what's going on? Sometimes the trailer is so close already and I'm still in the middle of the road, stuck. I will just close my eyes like, okay, God, if that's the case, then we go. But it will stand before you that I did not kill myself. And while I'm there screaming my prayers to God, I'll just hear the trailer make a very loud horn. And while I open my eye again, I see myself beside the road. Yes, it happened 3 times. That was when I knew that, the devil was after my life and God is saying no. No. Mercy was saying no. I've not created you for destruction. God was saying no. What you went through was supposed to mess you up, but I'm going to make a total mess. I'm going to make your life beautiful. You know, a lot of things. And then I realized the only thing the enemy could not do was to come in the flesh, come out physically, come in through the wall and force that knife through me. That very moment, I came to the realization that he couldn't do it. He tried so much. He couldn't. That's when I knew that there was something about my life. So when I started praying purpose, like I saw people praying, I was praying for that from that standpoint of, why have you kept me for this long? Why have you preserved me for this long? I made a lot of wrong decisions. I remember I was sharing with us yesterday how, you know, because of some of the abuses I went through, I was just desiring things that are not. I was just desiring things, and I won't just desire, I will go all the way to execute my desires. Wrong decisions, yes, I agree. But I don't want to say, oh, I was a victim of that and don't pass. I just came to realize that there was something about my life that the enemy was fighting for years. I was blind, so I supported him in the fight. Not until God came for me. And I saw what he was trying to do to me, and I was like, wow. That's why anytime I tell people I wish I'd known God earlier, they say, Grace, you started earlier. I say, you don't understand. I wish I'd known him earlier. All through secondary school, it would have been different. It would have been different. I would not have just gone through secondary school the way I went. It would have been different. I would have gone through it more purposefully. You know, more purposefully. I would have done some things deliberately. It would have made sense more. I would not have taken some decisions. I wish I'd known him earlier. But I'm glad. It's not too late. And I say to you, if you're listening to me out there, it's not too late to find Jesus. It's not too late to come into the saving knowledge of his grace. It is not too late to make a U-turn and welcome him into your life. He's willing to receive you just as you are. Just as you are. So I was hungry and I was pressing into God, saying, God, for whatever reason it is, you kept me. Paul was saying, I want to apprehend the purpose for which I was apprehended. I wanted to apprehend it. I wanted to know why. What happened? How did you keep me this far? I messed up. I did a lot of things. You still kept me. How? Why, God? Show me. And God started teaching me things. God started taking me deeper. God started exposing me to so much. So anytime you see me speaking about situations and circumstances, and I'm so passionate about it, it's because the devil has cheated me in that regard for so long, and I don't want him to cheat you. The devil has lied to me for so long, and I've believed him for too long. And I don't want that to be your case. That is why I sit and I say these things passionately, because Your own life can be better because you don't have to go through the same process. Because who knows, you might not have the kind of opportunity I had. I had parents praying for me. I had parents interceding for me. That might not be your case. But now you are listening to me and you can make a U-turn. You can choose to make something beautiful out of that life you are calling a mess right now. And I made a covenant with God. I said, God, if you've kept me up to this now for this very purpose, let my life be before you a drink offering. Pour all of me out for your glory. For your glory. For your glory. And God started doing something beautiful in my life from that moment onward. And here we are today. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Don't relent. Don't give up. Don't say he's not working. He's working. Even when you're not seeing him, he's working. Coming to that point where it's not just... It was different for me when I came here to Oshun. It was different. So it's not just going to church, my parents trying to live above pastor, as pastor's children. It was far from it. This was having a working relationship with God. Before then, it was religion. Devotion, and we sleep there. You even take the position that will make you sleep up because it was so early. How can anybody wake us up for 5 a.m. to be doing devotional and we can be there for 1 hour 30 minutes? What are we doing? It became different. When I encountered God, when I met with Christ, it became totally different. I want to encourage you today. You can choose to meet with Christ and I can tell your life will significantly change. It will be different. It will be different. Now I'm grateful to God he did not answer all of my stupid prayers. Of God, disfigure me, spoil me, make me look horrible so that no man will try and mess with me anymore. I'm grateful he didn't answer all those prayers. And of course, he knew I was praying those prayers out of ignorance. Today, I'm grateful to God, of course, for whatever it is I've gone through. I'm grateful because I know I can be a channel to help many out there going through similar, even worse cases. I'm grateful that while I was trying to mess up, God did not allow the cars, the trucks, and whatever it is on the road to knock me down. It would have disfigured me. Who knows the state I would have been today? Who knows the limitation I would have encountered today so that I would not fulfill God's glorious destiny for my life? God looked at all of that, ignored it, and still said, Grace, I have chosen you for my assignment. I have chosen you. You know, before you were born in your mother's, I had known you and have ordained you. That is what it is. And I'm saying that to you today. God foreknew you. God foreordained you. You are not an accident. There are no accidents in life. You are not a mistake. You are not a misfortune. God has a plan for your life. I want to encourage you today. You are not alone on this journey. Be encouraged. Take comfort from me, from the Holy Spirit, of course. And now that you hear me, take comfort from me. I know that God can still rewrite your story. God can still rewrite your story. God can still rewrite your story. He's not done with you yet. And it is not over until your God, my God, says so. Glory to God. I hope you've been blessed today. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Enjoy the remaining part of your Sunday. We meet again tomorrow, same time. Bye-bye.